Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at
Menards. Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Score! Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
All right, first day in what? I thought it was, they said like 27 days that we didn't have soccer yesterday.
That was the first time in forever, and it was a lonely day. It was a sad, lonely day yesterday with no soccer to watch. But we got it today. France and Morocco are going to go at it. And Glenn, to preview it, plus he's going to head to L.A. today for tomorrow's matchup, which should have been the U.S., but instead Belgium somehow got by, probably because of the referees. And here we are. They'll be playing Spain instead of the U.S. playing Spain, which is the way that it was meant to be. But Glenn is joining us once again here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Glenn, welcome in. You got to be excited. You excited about this Morocco-France game?
Yeah, I think this is one that's really, really interesting. There's a lot of ties between the players. Obviously, France is just ridiculous with the amount of game changers they have. And, you know, we know all the names, Mbappe, Dembele, Doué, Olise, on and on we go with guys that can win a game for you. And that's a big piece here at this moment. But I will say this. I think Morocco is going to give them an incredible game. This really on paper looks amazing. And as you saw in the second half against Canada, Morocco has this tremendous ability to break out and break out quickly in transition. And that's something to keep an eye on today between France and Morocco.
It is worth noting, Ismaël Chaibari is out for this match. One of their premium players up front. The hamstring just is not cooperating with them, so he has been ruled out for the quarter. So that's a big loss for Morocco. Probably have them, you know, doing what they're going to do anyway, Glenn, which is sit back and try to counter and just defend. But that's kind of a loss for them because he's pretty creative as a goal scorer up front.
Well, he's a pressing goal scorer. He can make chances for himself. He got injured in the Canada game that I called, but Ibarri came on and is a very, very capable center forward. Look, these things happen to all teams, right? I mean, we came into the World Cup with Christian Pulisic as our poster boy, our star. We got teased in the beginning. He led us and got us off on the right foot against Paraguay. But if you really looked at the way he entered the World Cup, we questioned, is he durable enough? Is he going to be able to hold up physically? You know, he wasn't scoring goals at Milan. That wasn't a great situation. So in some ways, it's not surprising what has happened. But I think because of the start and the way he played against Paraguay, you know, we were all expecting big, big things. And of course, he has been positioned as our superstar. But every team in the World Cup goes through challenges, differing moments. They have to absorb and absolve and find solutions to injuries. You're going to have an off day. You got to win on an off day. So, you know, it really is sort of the breakdown of a tournament where, you know, a singular call or something can change the direction of the tournament. By the way, I know Egypt is upset, but your coach should also be upset at the fact that you conceded three goals in 11 or 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that hasn't been talked about.
That has been forgotten in the whole thing.
You know. Well, I mean, this is the thing, right? You go to penalties and you complain about something. Yeah, but you had 90 minutes and extra time to win games. You know, I think we can always dial down on, and this is sports, right? You can always dial down on an individual moment in the game, and they do change the course of games. But you also have to remember, you had all this time to you know, play the way you want, employ your tactics, win a game.
We got Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief right now on ESPN 97.5. If you were to power rank them, France is still number one. who the eight teams left. Who power rank the teams for me?
Okay, so what do we got? We got France first. I'm going to go Argentina second. I'm going to go. I'm trying to remember all the teams. Argentina second.
Spain, Norway.
Spain third.
England.
England for Norway five. Did I put Argentina in there?
Yeah, second.
Okay, I put Argentina second. And then Switzerland and Belgium come in at 7 and 8.
And Morocco.
I get Morocco actually, I would put 4, England 5.
Really? So you got England ahead of Norway. You like England in that matchup? Boy, you're going to talk about two scorers. Holy crap.
Yeah, that's a Premier League matchup. I think that one's going to intrigue the country, as of all the games. But, you know, I think, you know, Erling Haaland, Harry Kane, everybody, all the stars are delivering, right? It's a World Cup where the stars are delivering
Bellingham.
For the most part. You know, Mbappe, everybody's delivering. It's super exciting. I think the world is loving watching Erling Haaland because I think he's just such a great personality. Some of the things off the field, but then his focus on the field, the way he plays the game. And the Norwegians have captured a lot of hearts because nobody really knew a whole lot about Norway coming in. They didn't know what the expectations were. And, you know, you have the whole celebration after. They just look like they're having fun. And teams that are having fun can be dangerous.
How good is Norway relative to the talent around Haaland versus, you know, Haaland just knows how to get goals? How good is the rest of the team?
I think it's a lot more than that because every superstar has to be supported. Is it Berg, number 6? I really like him. I haven't done any Norway games, but they've got guys playing in a lot of top teams in the Premier League, etc. So, you know, I think we sometimes forget the attention gets put so much on these stars, but mm-hmm. when you dig down deep and you look at where all these other guys are playing on the Congo and some of the teams that people were surprised did well, then you might not be as surprised because they're playing on clubs of substantial nature.
Is the deepest roster for France? Is France the deepest roster top to bottom?
Is France top to bottom?
Yeah, top to bottom, the most talented team, like everyone says.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We may talk about all the attackers, but they've got a great midfield. They got excellent backs. They're not easy to score goals against. But they're frightening because I think they can hurt you in a lot of different ways. They can do it through a buildup. They can do it in transition. An individual can pick a ball up on a repress, and the next thing you know, it's flashed in the back of your net like Mbappe. So the variety of the ways they can score. And look, again, it comes down to the volume of quality players they have from an attacking standpoint. It's scary.
Yep. How about same question about what's around Harry Kane? Does he have more around him than Haaland has?
Well, what did you think after the Mexico game?
Yeah.
He had a lot of warriors with him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Jude sure Bellingham did. Was incredible.
Yeah, he had a lot of warriors with him. Now he needs them again, and there was a question around that prior to the Mexico game. But, that Mexico win was so emotional and unique, and the environment was unique. That, you know, let's see what England puts out against Norway. Does that platform them into something different now and even better? That's why game to game, you look at it really closely because it is just fascinating. I mean, look at Belgium. Belgium played its best game against the U.S., and that's after Onana got injured. And if you looked at the way and the results they had in the tournament, they weren't necessarily great. They got through. They survived. Now let's see what Belgium can do against one of the favorites in Spain tomorrow. I'm interested to see how that game kind of plays out and if they took a lot of energy out of the U.S. game.
I'm not sure that you put Belgium in the power rankings, and I would like them to be right near the top, but they're probably not. They're probably near the bottom, aren't they?
Yeah, but, you know, anything can happen in these games. It's only 90 minutes, and you know, maybe they defend well. Maybe, Spain has 65% of the ball but doesn't create a lot of chances, you know.
That happens. That's happened before.
Yeah. Everybody who wants to make a judgment on a game because of ball possession and my favorite stat, this is a joke, XG, expected goals. You know, you see people win the data battle, but not the game.
Yeah, Spain is, I was going to ask you that. That's what concerns me a little about Spain, is that they kind of shave off unnecessarily. I mean, they make the match a shorter match because of their possession without attack, and because they can possess, attack, attack. Well, in one sense, that's great. You're keeping the other team from the ball. But in the other sense, you know, if you end up giving up a penalty, a header on off a corner where the other team scores, you know, you make it a little tougher on yourself.
Again, possession has got to have intent and purpose, and possession has to lead. I think we all, when we watch games, we say, okay, wow, Spain, what a great possession team. Okay, how is it manifested in the amount of chances created? My gut is they're going to have chances created against Belgium with guys like Lamine Yamal and Ferran Torres and all these guys. And a lot of times it's the quarterfinals where people even, you know, put it in overdrive even more. So I wouldn't be worried about Spain creating chances. You know, they've also got the individuals as well. But I do think that's something we all look at when we watch games, you know. Hey, it's great you're stroking it around. Two center backs have, you know, at the end of the game, the two center backs have had the ball more than anybody else. And that's an indication that, you know, are you really intent to get the goal and score goals?
One thing to keep an eye on with Spain is that there is, I think, an average chance, based on what I've read, that Nico Williams can make a return for Spain. And he is a massive difference maker when it comes to attacking. He didn't have his fitness level where it needed to be, so he didn't play against Portugal. But if he's available, Glenn, and you have Nico Williams and Yamal and the entire, I mean, that just completely changes everything if Nico Williams is available as an offensive threat.
Well, it's a compliment to the other side of the field in Lamine Yamal. I mean, I think we learned that with the U.S. that we became a more dangerous team when Mauricio Pochettino pushed Sergiño Dest higher up the field to complement Pulisic, although Pulisic didn't play much in the World Cup. So, you know, you always want a compliment on the other side of the field. And look, Lamine Yamal's going to get wide. He's going to bring him at width. He's going to get to the touchline a lot. He's also going to come central. But when he gets to the touchline, that's to create space for other people to come out of midfield and join the attack. So that's something to keep an eye on, because if he goes out wide to the sideline and a defender follows him, you're going to have a nice big channel of space for others to get into.
On this day 20 years ago, 2006, Italy defeated France 5-3 in a penalty shootout. How are you guys celebrating today?
You know, I have a statue of a Buffon in my house, so I pray to the Buffon statue.
Fabio Cannavaro, Fabio Grosso, come on,
John,
let's
John,
go.
John, did you guys know that Fabio was in Houston, right?
With
Uzbekistan. He was the coach of Uzbekistan.
Oh, no one knew that, Glenn.
I know.
No one knows who's coaching Uzbekistan.
Yeah, he's the coach of Uzbekistan. When they played Portugal, and Ronaldo got his historic goal.
Yeah, that's impossible to know.
Energy, but Fabio Cannavaro won the gold ball as the top player in the tournament as a defender. Rarity. And by the way, he's not a big guy, but what a defender that guy was.
Oh. Yeah. Look, Glenn's even celebrating today. He's, well, you're coming to L.A., right? Come on.
I know. Where are you at? No, you're in Hollywood Hills.
Far away.
You're in Hollywood, right?
No, I'm not in Hollywood. Sherman Oaks, you know, in a little community.
I know Sherman Oaks.
They call it the Sherm.
Not Bel Air or Beverly Hills or any of that. Nope.
Well,
just regular old Sherman.
They're going to see me coming, and they're going to, you know, I'm not Glitteria and bougie, you know. They're going to wonder why this guy's in town.
No way. He's a star. Everybody knows you. You're the foremost authority on soccer in the United States. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Oh, my God. We got to scratch that from the record.
You're not going
Actually, I used to go to L.A. every week to call Italian Serie A games.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Every weekend. I'd leave on a Friday. come home on a Sunday, and that's when the Serie A was the best league in the world before the Premier League kind of took over.
Wow, you did it in Italian? Nice, I like that.
No.
Oh. I think they had some Italians to do that. They needed English. They needed you. They needed you there. That's it. Well, this has been fun. So we'll talk about this France-Morocco game tomorrow morning with Glenn. He's heading to L.A. to do Spain and Belgium, and that is going to be great. Great for you that you get to do this. This is your last show tomorrow. The last game you're
yeah,
do?
My last game that I'm calling, yep, is this quarterfinal.
It's tomorrow? That's great. All right, well, get on over here. Let's go. The weather's beautiful. Yep. You don't have to worry about the humidity here, pal. Come on.
All right. Looking forward to it.
There's Glenn Davis.
Thanks,
every
man.
Morning brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief right here on ESPN 97.5. Great stuff. We will talk to him again tomorrow morning. Thanks, Glenn. Don't go anywhere.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Astros lose. Just three games left. Got the day off today. They play the Rangers, who they're 5-2 against this year. They play the Rangers the final three games before the All-Star break. They got a chance to be .500 if they sweep the series. They love hitting in, well, Yordan loves hitting there. Well, Yordan loves, and he needs this. Because, boy, is he not good right now because of Christian Walker stealing his mojo.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell people, is Christian Walker a witch?
Christian Walker is a witch. Have you seen? Yordan is on an 0 for 12 or 0 for 13 right now. And he's got one hit since Christian Walker wiped his bat all over himself. While Yordan was rounding the bases with the walk-off homer.
I don't like the way you say wipe the bat all over himself.
Yeah, he did. He wiped it. I mean, he wiped it on his back. He wiped it on his front. He wiped it under his arms like he was showering.
I know, but wiped it on his front?
I don't know. I didn't say.
I'm just asking. I'm just asking questions is all I'm asking.
I mean, goodness gracious.
You just made it sound like he was wiping it all over himself. And I was just
he
like,
did wipe it all over himself.
I know, I just don't like the way it
Lance,
sounds.
Lance, you will be happy to know that your use of the term moose knuckle is catching on.
Yeah. Why is that?
Someone called into my show yesterday and was like, yeah, after Belgium moose knuckled the U.S.,
it's a perfect usage.
It's terrible.
Perfect usage.
I just let it go. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to get involved.
Because you're going to throw gas on the fire.
No,
the moose knuckle train is going to get rolling.
No, because for some people who are, you know, innocent and just, you know, go about their day not in the depths of depravity like you, they're not going to know what that means. So if some caller just says it just goes by the wayside. If I address it, then it becomes the thing that they know. So I just let it go. But just so you know. People are using it now.
That's good.
It's not good, actually.
No, it's great. I think it lets me know that this country's moving forward with some new things, trying out some new things.
Moose knuckle? That's what you want? It sounds like a Canadian term.
Did the Nationals moose knuckle the Astros last night?
It
was 8-2. Foster Griffin, dude.
I mean, 8-2 is a pretty good one.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a moose knuckling because 4-1 is like a 12-3.
Can you put together a top five?
Eric Geddy got moose knuckled.
Can you put together a top five of the worst moose knucklings in Houston sports history?
Oh yeah, game seven against the Mavericks.
Hold on,
okay.
Put a real one together. We'll get back to it.
Oh okay.
We'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour.
My head. I mean,
make a list.
The Rockets have like three of them.
We'll make a list of the worst moose knucklings of all time in Houston sports history.
Okay.
And we'll get to it.
All right. Mm-hmm. I like this. I like this new game.
Since you want to use the word or phrase,
He does. I don't know why, but yes, he does. That is unfortunate, moose knuckling. The Astros, I felt like last night, Foster, Griffin tackled him.
You know, it's a bad thing when you have Yordan and the other team had the two best left-handed hitters.
Yeah.
And they're all they're both 25 and 23 years old. Look at the Astros guys who are that age. We don't have any of those guys. We don't have our Abrams or a Wood. Like, we have a bunch of, like, 23 and 25-year-olds. None of them are those two.
And you left Garcia out, too.
Well, yeah. Well, I didn't want to rub it in.
They got three. Dude was 3-for-4 last night with the three-run homer. Goodness gracious. And Spencer Arrighetti threw 94 pitches in 4 innings. 4 innings, 94 pitches.
Yeah, he is, man. I don't know what has happened to him. Just what
that
has happened
to him.
That is
just incredible.
Yeah, this is
really
disgusting.
They do follow a lot of pitches. They make you throw a lot of pitches, though. I like this Nationals team. It's a nice little team.
Yeah, it is. They've got some they've got some stuff to it. And, you know, they were...
I mean, they're not any good, but
we talked about it earlier. They were rebuilt with the off the Juan Soto trade with two of their best players, C.J. Abrams and Wood, are two of them that have come up. Now, you still have to have pitching, you know, to make it. You still got to get some pitching. And then they traded
start
the top,
with Foster Griffin.
Well, they
this
traded.
This should have been an all-star.
The pitcher they got in that trade also, they've traded him now for a shortstop from the number 12 pick of the draft, for a shortstop from the Rangers. So we'll see. But that's another short. That's a shortstop. That's not a. Another shortstop.
I went through their lineup last night. Not a player older than 27.
Wow. And this, Foster Griffin, 10-2 this year. He's 10-2 with a 2.77.
And he was the old guy. He's 30.
102 whip. And he's, he's 30. But he should have been an all-star. Instead, they took Paul Skeens because of Paul Skeens.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Who's Foster Griffin dating? Maybe if he had a famous influencer athlete, significant other, he would have made the all-star team.
We would know, because if you Google Foster Griffin, the first thing would come up Foster Griffin.
Is she an influencer?
In some ways, but that's not what I'm talking about. Mm.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
Dating her.
Mm-hmm. She's dating?
Yeah, Dell just said something.
I don't know. And it's not Bunny. I believe you mean Bonnie.
Bonnie Blue, yeah.
It's not don't look it up, John.
No, I know who Bonnie Blue
don't
is.
Google it on your NFL computer.
She's gross.
Well, maybe that's who he's dating, and we're not dating.
No, he's not. Don't put that on Foster Griffin.
We don't know for a fact he is or isn't.
You think if Foster Griffin was dating that woman, we wouldn't know about it?
Here's what I'm going to tell you for a fact. We don't know who he's dating.
That's true. But if we
you don't know.
But if it was her, we
he
would
might
know.
Be. You don't know.
If it was her, we would
if it was
know.
Her, we'd know.
She would have let it be known. Definitely.
Would anyone be talking about Foster Griffin, really? Is America, are we having conversations about Foster Griffin?
Foster Griffin, are you gross? Foster Griffin, what are you doing?
We would.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't get into people's business like Foster Griffin. What are you doing? I would be like, who's Foster Griffin? Oh, a National League pitcher? Doesn't count.
Well, it counted last
night.
The
mound meeting on it'd be the mound meeting on Bull Durham. Hey. Does he know what she's about?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, he might. She might be his baseball Annie.
Mm. Well, none of that is known to be true.
No.
We just saw a guy.
But and yet, we don't know.
I think Cade Cavalli could be with Bonnie Blue, though.
Okay.
What, you think so?
If I was going to pick a national pitcher, it would be with Bonnie Blue. It would be Cavalli.
He caught
Skeens, but seriously, Skeens getting a. I mean, that really is a joke that Skeens got.
Well, it's just because of the name. That's all.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, they want Livy there. That's all. Yeah. That's all. Bring Livy with you.
I think they want Skeens, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but he's not that good this year.
No. It was just I mean, no. It's just a name. It's a name selection more than anything, obviously. Well, it's not the first time this has happened. And do they only have one? Do they only have one all-star?
With the original selections, they had one. But Braxton Ashcraft, yes, that's a real person, is replacing Mizorowski.
Oh.
So now they have two, but they were only going to have the one. But the Miz won't be there. Or at least he won't be pitching.
The Miz won't be. That's a shame. The Miz. He is a wow. The Miz is he's the future, throwing 150 and 60 times a game.
Yep.
All right, 713-780-3776, trying to catch up on some breaks here. Thank you to Glenn Davis for being with us here. We will talk to him again tomorrow. Thank you to Dr. Kaplan. But thank you to Taquerias Arandas, too, for a place to watch the game today.
Yeah, and Taquerias Arandas is a great spot to go watch all the matches. It'll be popping off for Frayne Morocco. So you got that going on at 3 o'clock. So what I might suggest you do is get there maybe for a late lunch or early dinner. You know, the timing of it all, the match going to about 5, 5.30, you never know. So you might have an early dinner there. You might stick around for any kind of happy hour specials if they have that at your local Taquerias Arandas. Beer, margaritas, they have other cocktails. You got great food selection. When you're at the bar, they're sports bars, which they have sports bars inside of the restaurants where when the bars are kind of partitioned off. They will make some very specific sports bars. They have different menus. I don't know if you know that, but they have a bar menu for you, which gives you items that you can't get at other Taquerias Arandas locations. So just a little something to keep an eye on as well. Great, authentic Mexican food. They've started throwing in some Tex-Mex stuff on the menu as well, if that's your jam. And they want to make sure that you have a great time with not only authentic, great tasting Mexican food, but also very, very reasonable prices. It's the hookup. And obviously, watch all your World Cup matches in any of the Taquerias Arandas locations. Find one nearest you at TaqueriasArandas.com.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm waving to my granddaughter Charlie. She's watching the show this morning in her jammies, waving at Papa. That's it. A wave at Charlie. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776. How about this? The price before round of 16, France-Morocco was $14.50. Get in price today, or $14.85 today. It's down about $400. You can get in for about $1,100. Spain and Belgium, it was $3,200 to get in. Now it's $1,200.
Wow. So it's starting to even out. People are
at first that was where the U.S. was going. So that's why it was.
It's also short term. Like, it's a short turnaround now to be able to find places to stay. Those prices typically do come down until you get to the finals.
Yeah, the day of the normally any ticket price is going to come down. Norway and England, I'm a little surprised, though. It's gone from 38 to 18.
Yeah, because those prices were done.
Those fans are.
Yeah, but those were asking prices that were not reasonable. These are more reasonable prices, and it's still not super reasonable. You're talking about getting into a stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, these are the worst seats, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like, you know, you're killing it at 1,800.
No. So Argentina and Switzerland were near 2,400. They're down to 1,400. But I'm so, you know what, that the Norway and English fans, which game would you want to see?
Of all those, I'd probably say Norway, England.
Me too, I think.
Yeah, Norway, England.
Del, which game would you want to see?
I want to see Holland versus the guys he goes against on a weekly basis in the Premier League.
In the Prem.
Yeah.
Although Kane has left the Prem.
That's true.
Jude Bellingham is not in the Prem.
But those defenders, for the most part, I believe, are all Premier League guys. And
so, are they best friends or just really good friends? Jude Bellingham from England and Erling Haaland.
Well, they both played at Dortmund together.
Yeah, when they were young.
Yeah.
They're very close.
I don't know. I don't know how close they are, but I just know they're teammates. And Haaland is, you know, despite the Viking imagery and all that stuff, he's a very personable guy. People seem to like him quite a bit. So
I've seen a lot of videos. He interacts with people. You know who doesn't is Yamal. He's a little, I mean, he's
still young, but those, I'm telling you, man, what they say is those stars a lot of times are just a-holes, and like, they're super entitled and enabled. Yeah. I don't I've never heard that on him, but I wouldn't. It wouldn't shock me. No. Why are you saying that? What have you seen or heard?
Oh my God! Well, they got videos of Erling. You know, it seems like all the fans. He's very receptive.
Well, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, and Yamal is just a little a-hole.
Was it in the same video? Were they trying to make him look bad?
No, I mean, but there's a lot of instances of him, even on the pitch. He's doesn't seem, you know, that personable.
Well, he is young. He's really young.
He's really young. If you could have, just next year, not for their careers, but if you could have Kane or Haaland next year on your team, which would you want?
Haaland, better player. Kane's a good goal scorer. Haaland's a better player.
Dell?
Yeah, I'll take the guy in his prime. And Kane's doing obviously great. And Bayern Munich, he scores the goals. But I'm taking the in-prime striker who people believe is going to wind up on Real Madrid at some point. I saw something like the belief is that's inevitable, that he will move on from Man City and go play at Real. Real's always it's like you want
to
play.
Really? You have to leave the Premier League and just go play at either Real Madrid or PSG?
When you have the opportunity, you want to play at one of the premier clubs in the world. And Real will always have that status. Mm-hmm. So it's an appeal. Like, I don't know how long Haaland wants to spend playing in the Premier League, because at some point you want to go challenge yourself someplace else. And we don't have that in this country because we don't have competing leagues with our top leagues. But for them, it's like, you know what? I want to go play at Camp Nou. I want to go play against Barcelona there. I want to go play in the home of Real Madrid. Those are things those guys want to do. And while he's done it as a Man City player on the road, maybe he just wants to put that Real Madrid shirt on.
Cool. I mean, a lot of really great players have.
Yeah.
I mean, Modric, that money's going away.
Yeah, Ronaldo was at Man United for years. You think, why would he ever want to leave a top club in the world? He goes, you know what? I want to go play at Real Madrid.
That's what he's doing now, challenging himself in Saudi Arabia.
Now, that's a little different, but he's older. But it's just part of the thing. You're a superstar. Real likes courting superstars. And Haaland may be the next one when the time comes.
They're letting down an entire generation of soccer players.
How? What?
No one wants to see him in El Clasico, a Norwegian in El Clasico.
Why not? We have Brazilians in El Clasico.
Yeah, but Portuguese and Spanish kind of.
So you think
you're in the same
dude
neighborhood?
Bellingham's an
maybe?
Englishman in El Clasico.
Can't be that pasty in El Clasico.
Modric is pretty.
Looks
pasty.
Looks like he's from Marinette, Wisconsin.
Modric's pretty pasty.
That's true. That's true, and they finally got him out of the league this year.
Well, yeah, but he's a legend, and he left Tottenham to go play there.
Are you guys seeing how hard the Scottish Open is right now?
No, I've missed it. I've missed it in the coverage.
I mean, the greatest players in the world can't even get out of these bunkers, and it's a lot of guys that I picked on my team this week. I'm just sick of this. I'm sick of the Scottish Open already, and it's only the first round.
I am too. I just got sick of it starting at 8:41. I'm tired of this dumb Scottish Open.
Well, next week we play the Open Championship.
You don't. We're going to be at East River 9. You're not. You continue to miss.
Well, they just happen to all of these.
Are you lining your stuff? Like, why would y'all be lining tournaments up in the middle of?
Because they're cosplaying.
Big tournaments.
They're cosplaying.
Are y'all really
players.
Just LARPing?
Yeah, they're just LARPing.
You're just LARPing golf?
What do you think is going on?
How are you not watching the opening round?
Well, they'll watch, but they'll play.
We'll watch. No,
but
we don't
have our fantasy football draft on the day of the NFL.
Well, this
the
year,
day of the draft.
Oh, guess what? Guess what? This year, the season starts on Wednesday.
Yeah, no, we have to have.
Well, we'll be. I talked to Sean yesterday.
League,
we're going to do our draft Tuesday, which is what we do every year. Tuesday.
It's not going to change. But
we're
going
to have to move our
in.
Other draft. We've got a draft that usually is on Wednesday. We'll have to move.
Well,
it
we got our. We're going to be going to the Golden Nugget. We're going to have a fantasy football league also again this year.
With the listeners
that one of the listeners that John talked the most trash to ended up winning. A Cowboys fan. He won.
A Cowboy fan.
Yeah.
I mean, how terrible is our league if the stupidest guy there wins?
And you're basing his intelligence on simply rooting for a football team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I'm doing.
So that means all of us lost to a really dumb person.
Yeah.
Does that make us dumber or does his Cowboy stuff supersede anything as far as our intelligence is concerned?
No, we're dumb too.
Okay,
we're,
got it. Yeah, but dumber than him, even though we don't root for the Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't possibly be as dumber than him because he's a Cowboy fan.
Got it.
Yeah. So there's that.
We can't possibly be as dumb as him.
He's a Cowboy fan. That supersedes everything. All your dumbness. All the dumbness in the world. Okay? 7137. Texans training camp tickets are out today. Is that what I saw?
How much do those cost? They don't give those away? They're charging people?
Yeah, I think they give them away. But you can apply for them. Are you guys going?
As a fan?
No. We're still here. We're not going to Toro City. But
District. Toro District.
I need to go this year. I didn't go to camp. I think I went one time last year. This gets so hot. Nothing. I'm just like, man.
And it conflicts with
Ever since they jammed us up. Well, like on the weekends. Ever since they jammed us up in that little holding pen where we can't really, and then they do everything far away from there, I just can't really see stuff.
No. Had to be there every day. It was just worthless, if you want to know the truth. It honestly doesn't tell you anything. It literally tells you nothing.
You do get a sense of who's getting snaps where and the offensive line and
who's holding the pads.
That's what I got Cody Stutes to tell me.
Yeah. But you don't get a...
I can already tell you what's going to happen. I can reasonably assume that the defense will be ahead of the offense.
Yeah, but although they said... Actually, it was different. At OTAs, they said
After they took Will Anderson off the field so they could operate?
They said for the first time they were like, okay, it was way different than last year when it was a bloodbath every day.
Second year in an offense. I will assume... Will Anderson will have to be taken off the field so the offense can operate.
Well, you got
to
do what you got to do.
I imagine that'll happen. What else? The camp battle for center is still ongoing. I think that'll be a storyline, certainly. And then we'll hear about Tank Dell updates. There, training camp finished. What else?
David Montgomery updates.
There is.
What's he going to show that we don't already know?
Well, that's true. We got to know about Reed Blankenship. How does he look? We don't know.
You mean the Super Bowl winner?
But we got to know.
He's going to look okay.
How does he look?
How many surprises do they actually have that'll make the roster?
Not a whole lot.
Not a lot.
It's just back end guys that are battling. It's good. It's good to have that. You've got more depth. But surprises. I mean, if I look at this, we would have to define surprise. We would have to be surprised. Because I don't think there's going to be any big, like, national surprises of a guy not making the team. I don't really see that. They're not an old team, so I don't think you're going to have any surprise cap cuts. Maybe Evan Brown? The center guard from who came over. You know, maybe he gets beat out.
I see very little talk about him at all.
That's why I mentioned him. Yeah. I don't ever see anyone mention him. So, you know, maybe... Someone like him, I guess.
That's not like, oh my God, Evan Brown didn't make the team.
No.
It'll be the Rutledge Andrews question. That'll be a prevailing.
Yeah, hopefully that's answered quick.
How many battles do they have?
Is Tommy Togiai going to be a? Is he going to be a starter this year? Probably should be the way he played. I mean, that guy balled out last year. I'm really impressed with him. I didn't love him coming out of college, and man, I've really been impressed with how disruptive he's been for the Texans. Togiai has been. When something disruptive is going on, he's in the middle of it a lot of times.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, I'm really surprised that he's been this kind of player. Looking at their roster,
he seems like a D'Amico kind of guy.
Looking at their roster, the only surprises could be maybe. Can't see Cade Stover not making this team. Foster Moreau's going to make it. I mean, I guess that would mean leave Brevin Jordan out. You're not going to roll with five tight ends. Four is the most you could run with. What surprises are you going to have? Noah Whittington might be able to make the team ahead of Juwan Jordan, but is that really a big, is that a big deal?
What?
Ooh, yeah. Now that I think about it.
I better get out there.
No. Yeah. Trent's going to make the team. Your rookie from Oklahoma is going to make the team. It would take. No, I can't see a situation because Evan Brown plays guard center. I don't think there's going to be any real surprises unless Tank got cut for injury reasons. And they would probably put him on the pup, and then they'd put him on the IR so he wouldn't get cut. I don't think. Because I don't see a lot of wide receivers like Daniel Sabakowicz. I watched
him. That's a wide receiver?
Yeah. What? Sabakowicz. It's like Illinois State or something. It's tricky. Yeah. It's what you would think. Big guy, doesn't run great. Illinois State.
Dave Bohunowitz? What?
6'2", 205.
Sabakowicz.
Yeah.
Never heard of him. We can't have a Witz on the name all the great Witzes in the NFL.
We had a CJ. Fedorowicz.
I wrote
Fedorowicz.
This. Fedorowicz. Oh, we did have, but he was hurt.
As a tight end, though, which makes
sense. Yeah, he got hurt. Why do we have a huge, long history of injured tight ends, it seems like. Stover's adding to that, but we've had plenty of.
Brevin Jordan.
What's his name was? Here's what I wrote on Sabakowicz.
Chopper.
I wrote, and I actually have him as, I said his production stands out, but his pro day speed was disappointing, and he needs to refine his route running. His elite short area change of direction could allow him to run more complex routes from the slot if a team decides to give him a shot inside. He's a big guy. He's not fast, but his touchdown production and certain elements of his athletic profile give him a chance of being drafted late on day three. He averaged 77 catches for 1,060 yards and 12.7 touchdowns over 3 years. So really, really productive. But he's like, you know, Xavier Hutchinson. He's white Xavier Hutchinson from Illinois State. Tough guy, productive, not going to be a big athletic profile, although he did have really elite change of direction quickness. So he's quick. He's quicker than fast.
I'm surprised with Sabakowicz that that's
his description. Sabakowicz is quicker than fast.
That's surprising.
Believe it or not.
Quicker than fast. Sabakowicz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chewbacca-wits is what they're calling him.
Oh. Okay.
From the slot.
They're calling him Chewbacca-wits?
Chewbacca-wits.
And they call, what do they call Doc Kaplan?
They call Doc Kaplan a game changer. Okay? He's the X factor. Doc Kaplan, Michael Kaplan to you, Dr. Michael Kaplan, is he's one of the pioneers of rhinoplasty and sinuplasty. It's balloon sinuplasty. Let me get that right. Because balloon sinuplasty is where they can explain it to you. I had it done, and I had my deviated septum corrected, which has been a huge game changer. But it clears out. They have this process where they clear out the sinus, all the sinuses, just completely. And it is the recovery process. You know, it's gonna take about. I mean, you can. I had it on a Friday, and I went to the World Cup the next day. My first World Cup match. I'm just letting you know. Now, recovery takes longer than that, but it's not one of these things when you're laid up in bed. And the difference I have now in my sinuses, I had to overcome a different sickness that was unrelated, so it slowed down my process. And then when I got better, when I took my medicine, got better from my sickness, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. And I told my wife that just yesterday, as a matter of fact, told Dr. Kaplan that. It really does change everything for you. If you're looking for someone, if you're tired of that constant sinus pressure and the allergies, they have allergy tests. They can get you allergy shots as well. But they help you breathe easier. You hear clear, you sleep better across the board. They're ear, nose, and throat specialists, and they are going to really change your life for the better. And if you have sinus issues, there is no one else you should be calling other than Dr. Michael Kaplan. Go to KaplanSinusRelief.com. That's KaplanSinusRelief.com. Or call today to set up your appointment. A lot of easy appointments to get into. 713-903-8049.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How we won, how we lost, how we came,
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 7378037776. If you would like to get in with us, you are more than welcome. We got the soccer game today. We talked a little Texans football. Okay, big training camp. I guess the train. I don't know. Find out.
I'm excited. No, I'm just excited that football's. I mean, God, football's. It's not that far away. Preseason is starting up in less than a month. Oh, no. Yeah, in about a month. Well, they play one fewer preseason game, but I'm trying to remember. Did they shave off the fourth game? Is there a two-week rest, right? So the first game is still the first game. So the first game is probably – first game is still going to be something
they
like
start
the seventh.
Early,
first game is August 6th.
Yeah, so they we're less than a
mid-July.
Month away.
Mid-July.
Well, when camp starts.
Right. Or late July.
Late July.
Depends actually. On when your first game.
Because I'm going to be in Jacksonville for the first day of there. I got invited to a scouting symposium as a speaker. And so their first day of camp is the 29th.
Well, 20 will days
you be,
away.
Will you be eating pretzels or granola while you speak? That's what you do when you do your other speaking job.
Well, no, I usually not pretzel. I have had pretzels, but I usually like to eat better stuff than that. I might. I mean, if they have a trail mix there.
So you.
Not trail mix, something like doodads.
I'm
or
just trying to see the
Chex mix.
The level of respect you hold for
Cheez-Its.
Different speaking engagements.
If they put Cheez-Its there, between questions, I will.
Oh.
I'll
between questions? Why don't you wait like during a break?
He doesn't do that here.
Well, if Bucky Brooks is talking, then I can just be eating Cheez-Its or whatever.
Would you rather have him show more respect to his speaking engagement with the Jags than he does his everyday job? You'd rather do that? Okay.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I'd like to see a level of professionalism there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care if James Blackstone finds him unprofessional. Is it Gladstone? What's his
last
name? Gladstone unprofessional? Mm-hmm. We got to deal with it all the time.
But we are used to
he's
it.
He's left a balled up tissue paper
years
there for like 3 days now. Yeah. It's his. And none of us will touch it because it's disgusting. There's just a used tissue that he left. Since Monday, still over there.
It's gone.
Did you get rid of it, or did someone
else? It's gone.
Else?
It's been gone.
No, it was there yesterday.
Not that I know of.
You got rid of it then.
Not
you just left it there.
Joe and Jeremy had to have that show.
I don't know who sits there. I think Joe does, and rightfully so. Joe wasn't going to touch it. It's disgusting. Will James Gladstone have to remove a balled up piece of tissue?
We'll find out.
Okay.
We're going to find out. I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to Trojan horse that thing.
All right.
I'm going to unleash sickness in there.
Ruin them from the inside, huh?
Yeah. I'm thinking about what I can do.
Convince them to trade Brian Thomas for a fifth rounder or something.
Yeah.
Hey,
to a division team or just get him out of the division?
Either way. Listen, I don't
care. Well, the way he played last year, I'm like,
well,
keep him here.
Why? I don't want Brian Thomas to leave there.
I'm
keep him here.
Look, that's a talented dude.
He's got to be better than he was last year.
Got to be.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
It made no sense to be that bad last year.
I mean, dropping easy passes.
Oh, yeah.
Not the one against the Texans.
They got
C.J. Gardner-Johnson out of here.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
C.J. helped.
I know.
No, C.J. was once again done wrong by people.
Well, I mean, that's one way to look at it.
C.J. did nothing wrong, guys. Let's cut the crap.
That's
been
us.
Done. They've screwed him at like five places that have all gotten rid of him.
That's on us.
And now, he's a Buffalo Bill. So we'll see him week one. Revenge game for CJ.
Ooh, that's perfect. Will we take advantage and score? Will we have a long touchdown against CJ?
It's very possible.
I think so, too.
I mean, if you know, you keep Greg Rousseau off of CJ Stroud. I want to see CJ, not ours, theirs, air some grievances against the people he thinks wronged him. He thinks Casario wronged him because of an interaction with one of Casario's friends. Apparently, remember, allegedly, Casario's friend called him a B-word.
Yeah, I mean, sounds so unlikely.
So I need that type of energy.
Yeah, Nick Casario's friends just walk around calling people the B-word.
Well, maybe said he was acting like a B. I don't know. Either way, I need some of that.
Trick-ass B.
I need him.
I don't see.
If he makes a play, I need him to go by the Texan sideline and start barking at people. Give me something for week one.
I can see like a salty coach saying something, but not Nick Casario's friend Gary.
Gary.
Gary Serio.
Was that his brother then?
No, his last name is, there's probably a friend named Serio.
Serio.
Yeah.
So Nick.
That's why they bonded
that's
early
how they
on
got and, together.
That's why they bonded early. Like, dude, my name is almost yours.
John has a friend in Chicago named Dave Notto.
Just what, like there was, a
Notto.
Dentist.
Dave Notto.
Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
Dave
the dentist
Notto.
Named Crentist?
But, yes.
You have a buddy named Erline.
Now he's on the phone with James Gladstone, apparently.
Oh, gosh. James Gladstone is going to interrupt the whole show again.
It has happened.
Last time he called.
Was that Gladstone?
Lance just left the room.
This is just a fake. That was a fake one of those things. Hello? Where you know it's immediately a fake.
Why
Hello?
Don't you? Well,
hi.
During the show, why don't you not answer the phone?
This could have been.
Wait a minute.
Yanni just
major.
Called me and I didn't answer it.
This could have been something major, though. And we're past the break anyway. What are we doing?
Need to go to break. He eats and answers phones during the break. Well, I don't know why you think he wouldn't do that. He's
also text.
No, well, yeah, he's eating Cheez-Its. There's no question.
He'll get up. And take a call, like it's an emergency, but it really isn't. It's just some NFL personnel man who wants to talk
not,
to him.
Not sometimes.
Do they know when you work?
Sometimes it's my kids have had wrecks because they hit each other in the face with pizza.
We're not gonna begrudge you.
Remember that one?
We get that. We understand that.
Where Mason said, "Your bleeping son made me wreck." He screamed at me that way. I'm like, wait, what?
Is that what your wife would normally say?
Yes.
That's your son?
Yes. And he sent me a video of it where he's flipping out like, that was a terrible
Look, don't
day.
Deflect. We don't begrudge you for taking care of a family emergency. Huh.
That's what I thought this one might be.
You didn't.
Oh, really? From an unknown number?
Yeah, but, and it didn't say robo-killer or spam, so I was like,
Just takes a phone call.
This could have been. It could have been somebody offering me $200,000.
Just break. Stop. The professionalism is gone. It's over.
Game is
the
gone.
Game is gone. Yeah.
Right. ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.